Coming up on today's show.
So I walked about a half hour to it, and there was the doors were closed and there was no mask. So then I had to pull up Uber and look for another one and kind of go to an area I wasn't really familiar with.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram so that you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform or platforms plural that you enjoy using. A reminder also about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join and which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. Remember as well that any and all of those do give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The spirit of competition is something to be admired, isn't it? While sure, maybe as a youngster, one might have some nervousness about trying out for a team and whether he or she would make the final cuts, by and large, if someone has a desire to participate in sports, they find the courage and probably just as much the enthusiasm to step forward towards being a part of whatever sport it is that they want to take part in. Regardless of whatever degree of intimidation might exist, there is also courage and desire that provide motivation to get involved. Similarly, in our faith life, we have God on our side, and that knowledge gives us the confidence and the comfort to go forward each day with Him at our side, regardless of the challenges that we might face. We are reminded of all of this in the New Testament, where in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says in verse 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest serves as the radio voice of Michigan State softball and number two for volleyball, plus fill-in for the University of Toledo, as well as various championships for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. His past roles have included being the lead voice of the United Shore Professional Baseball League, DePaul University Softball, and various other freelance opportunities. During college, he interned in the radio booth with Major League Baseball's Detroit Tigers, after which he landed the job as the TV broadcaster for Detroit Mercy. He is also entering his 10th year as the voice for Salem Media Group Detroit's Catholic Football League on their news talk station, The Patriot. He had even been recruited and given an athletic scholarship to start a broadcasting program at Mary Grove College. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jeremy Otto.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm glad to have you here. Using context clues from the introduction I just read, I think we're all going to conclude that you must be a Michigan native. Is that in fact the case? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size in the Otto household?
Yeah, that is correct. I grew up just outside of Detroit, about 15 minutes away in St. Clair Shores, which is kind of right off of Lake St. Clair as well. And I was actually an only child, so just three plus, some pets here and there, some frogs, some hamsters, some dogs. But
so tell us about your faith formation, because am I correct? Do you have 100% Catholic education from kindergarten to college?
I do. Isn't that kind of cool?
Wow.
It includes two colleges in that mix as well, because I transferred halfway. But I think my Catholic schooling definitely was at the heart of my faith formation. I started at St. Joan of Arc in St. Clair Shores from kindergarten all the way to eighth grade. Moved down to UD Jesuit High School in Detroit, kind of a historic school in the realm of the area because it's one of the only schools to stick around in the actual city. There's many schools that started in Detroit but moved out to the suburbs when things got rough, but they stayed in. So that's kind of a cool thing. And then I started at Marygrove College, which is actually just down the road from both UD High School and UD College, UD Mercy, where I work now for basketball. And then I transferred midway to Medina University as well in Livonia, which is where my current residence sits. So I have a lot of ties, I would say, to, whether it's my faith, whether it's my work, my schooling. I'd say my grandma also had a very key place to that. And I thank her to this day for allowing me to be in a position to go to Catholic school because, as you and I know, I mean, the cost is rising. I even from when I graduated from Catholic high school to now, I think it's risen $5,000 to $6,000, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I was lucky in a number of ways because she paid me through grade school and high school, and then I also had a sponsor who I never met, but communicated with, through letters and stuff through high school, which also supported me a lot in terms of pairing me up with somebody that could help out. But so. Everything happens for a reason, right? I mean, God kind of places you in the right situation, has those heavenly and maybe on earth guardian angels to help you through. But I feel very lucky in a lot of ways for my schooling, and for my work just to get the opportunities that I've had to this point.
Indeed, indeed. It sounds like you were always in the Catholic environment and have kind of carried that with you, as we're going to hear. This is typically where I start asking a guest about how and when they got started playing in sports and which sports they played. But your story is a little bit different because while you did participate in sports, you recognized your calling early, meaning broadcasting.
Yeah, and that's the I feel like it's not a must in today's broadcasting world, but if you haven't done anything in high school or college, you're kind of behind the eight ball just because of all the opportunities that you have. So I did go into high school, having a little bit of an athletic background with mostly baseball, and I was tinkering around with the idea of trying out for freshman baseball, and I went to some workouts and stuff. But I quickly realized that maybe that wasn't the right path. And when I was a freshman, first couple months in, I started getting involved with a broadcasting program at UD. It was something that had just started, and they were looking for volunteers. And I was very leery about play-by-play in itself for some reason, and I only wanted to do color. And I always tell the story of there was a pair of seniors, I don't even remember their names, but they were supposed to do the broadcast that day. And I don't know, I think I was supposed to help out or something. They didn't show up, and I was the play-by-play guy. So it kind of grew from that moment and ballooned to what it is today. And I think by the end of my freshman or sophomore year, I was like, yeah, this is a career that I'd like to get into. And as things do, one leads to another. And I met some good people and been in the right place in the right time and have continued 13 years later to be in a pretty exciting and a field that's worthwhile, I guess.
Well, and I think it's also a sign of the way that the industry has grown because, not to date myself, but when I was in high school, there was no option for broadcasting. The most that I was able to do was being the courtside PA announcer for basketball. And yes, of course, when I went to college, I was heavily involved in the college radio station. But here you are saying that you were only in high school. And I think you sent me something, number of games was like 50 to 60 a year that you were calling in high school.
Yeah, that's correct. And I kind of tell people, like, look, I may have only been in the professional year realm for 5 or 6 years, if you count that as post college, even though I was freelancing, for various outlets when I wasn't in college as well. And in terms of a professional setting, I was treating this almost like a job in high school. I mean, treating it like the same way of somebody who's trying to get drafted in Major League Baseball, like, committing my time to it, working on my craft, trying to get better. Doing every sport that I could. That's been key too, because there's, some people in the industry who aren't comfortable doing certain sports, but, having a background in those, whether it be in high school or college, it allows me to, maybe accept gigs that other people wouldn't. But I think the backbone that I had and kind of the element I was into, in a Jesuit institution where, at UD they coined the phrase, don't be a 245 man, which is when you get out of school. Otherwise, get involved with a club, my club or my whatever you want to call it at that point. My broadcasting of games was, me not being a 245 man and kind of committing to that mantra as well.
In the intro, I said that you were quote unquote recruited and given an athletic scholarship to start a broadcasting program at Mary Grove College. Since we heard you say that you felt you got your calling in high school to be a broadcaster, I had to imagine that getting that opportunity that I'm talking about at Mary Grove College must have carried with it the same kind of joy, sort of like answered prayers, that an athlete feels when they get recruited to go play their sport at a college or university. Did you, in fact, see it that way as a blessing?
I would think so. At that time, I think it was maybe a little bit of a disappointment because I really wanted to go to a big school. I wanted to go, I don't think I applied to Syracuse, but that's obviously the big broadcast school. I wanted to go to Marquette pretty bad, which is, within the Midwest, but still pretty expensive given a Catholic institution 10 hours away from me at that point. And there's some, Central Michigan is a good broadcast school in the area. So I have my sights set on kind of those, but as I look back, I was able to do every sport I could in an institution that had pretty much everything but football in both Madonna and Mary Grove. They ended up adding baseball by the end of my time there. But that really allowed me to kind of dig in and do again around that same 50 to 60 number per year. So, you think that's hundreds of broadcasts by the time I was stepping out of college, and it took 5 years of college. So I had a little bit more of a quote development year, if you will, to get some more broadcasts under my belt. But I think looking back, I didn't decide where I was going until like May or June. And, if you have anybody trying to go to college or, right at that point, it's like the worst question in the world to a kid that's a senior in college: where are you going to college sometimes? Or where are you going to go work after, you're almost done from graduating from college? But that was kind of me. I'm like, I don't know, and my parents kind of wanted me to stay local and, try to accumulate the least amount of debt as possible. So that in its own was a blessing as well, because I had zero student loans coming out, which is not the case for most people. So I think looking back, that was the best case scenario in a lot of reasons. And I think once I got there, I got excited about what I was able to do in terms of growing a program and, kind of seeing at a grassroots level of crewing, camera people and directors and putting together graphics and commercials, and getting that kind of behind the scenes experience, which everyone that wants to be on air doesn't really realize, you have to learn that too. It just kind of gives you that greater respect for what they do too, which helps as you unfold your career.
5 weeks ago in this show, my guest was Dave Matheson from Catholic Answers, and he talked about a point in his career where he was working in the PR department for the Detroit Tigers. Jeremy, talk about your time with the Detroit Tigers. We hear about veteran players taking a rookie under their wing, and not only did you get a broadcasting version of the power of mentorship, but you also witnessed the faith being practiced at the ballpark.
Yeah, that was kind of unique. We'll save that for a second, I guess. But yeah, I mean, the Tigers, ever since 2006, that's what a lot of people my age, I think, could point to as the fandom, as they made it to the World Series after having one of the worst seasons in Major League Baseball a couple of years before. But that kind of captivated me to baseball and the organization, and that was really a dream come true. And I think, after I got off the phone with the hiring manager that said I got hired, I sat back and like, wow, I'm working for the Detroit Tigers now, intern or not. It also gave me an opportunity to work with a guy that I listened to a lot growing up, in Dan Dickerson, and he's been awesome. He's just an awesome person and gives anyone that reaches out advice. But he's gone the extra mile for me in terms of listening to my demos and, just being there as a friend as well in the industry. But to have somebody like him at my backbone and to learn from him and sit behind him for 80 games, every home game I was there in the 2018 season was pretty cool, given, his stature in the industry and how he's revered along baseball as, one of the best play-by-play guys out there currently. But yeah, and the faith part of it, every Sunday home game at least, which it wasn't every week, but it was, a decent amount. They would have a little Catholic mass. Just in the on kind of service level there, and an interview room. So we would kind of go in there, and sometimes there would be athletes in there. There was members of the GM staff as well, and the front office had the chance to go down and receive the Eucharist and, kind of celebrate Mass in an unfamiliar setting, but it was necessary because, on day game at 1 o'clock, you'd get there sometimes at 8 a.m. So you wouldn't really have time to stop anywhere else unless you're going to really early Mass. So
great to hear. So great to hear. Folks, I got an email from one of you recently just thanking me for the work I do and expressing enjoyment from listening to the show each week. And I've got to say that that means so, so much to me. I hope you might appreciate that it can get kind of lonely since this is not a call-in show, meaning only hearing from the audience if you choose to email me or contact me through a private message on social media. I'm sincere when I say that this ministry is meant to impact your faith life. So two-way communication is my way of having it come back to me that, yes, what I'm putting out each week is touching people out there like this individual I'm referring to that emailed me. As you've heard me say before, I don't get any income from doing this show, so it's important that I learn that the time I'm putting into doing this is being well received by the audience. However, coupled with the fact that I also don't have any sponsors, I am challenged to find a way out of my own pocket to cover the various expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. When you evaluate the tithing that you're doing, I ask that you consider my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, especially if you are finding value in the work that I'm doing. If you feel you're benefiting from listening to this show, I ask that you kindly help me out by way of the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I still remember the guest who donated and said, I was going to say on the air during our interview how fast and easy it was, but I didn't want to disrupt the flow of the conversation. Through that button on the website, you can contribute whatever amount you're comfortable with by way of simply typing it in yourself, meaning you're not limited to a list of predetermined amounts. Alternatively, as some have done instead, you can get in touch with me via social media or email bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode, with your permission, as you've heard me do in the past, for guests and listeners who've made a gift to my ministry. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will give a generic on-air thank you without naming names instead. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Jeremy, you are entering year 6 as the TV broadcaster for Detroit Mercy. Since that's a Catholic institution, is there a presence of the faith in the broadcasts, or is it just maybe showing the viewers, say, maybe a team huddle for a pregame prayer and or on-field postgame prayer?
Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily that there's a presence on the broadcast. We go through ESPN3 and ESPN Plus through our feed for television, so that's kind of standardized, and there's certain expectations that come with that as well. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a faith life around campus as well, which is kind of cool to see, and hear players tie into it as well. But that's been the neat thing about not only dipping through Catholic waters in terms of my schooling, but also doing it at several institutions. DePaul University, I know you mentioned, they're a Catholic institution in Chicago. Had the chance to call games at two Catholic institutions as well, and in my college days as well. So it's cool to kind of see that full circle. And for Detroit Mercy, with that being right down the street, it was actually one campus. Way back in the day, in the 20s, I believe, with UD Jesuit and UD Mercy at that point. Now it's called Detroit Mercy officially. I grew up calling games in that arena because the Detroit Catholic High School League plays their championships there for forever. I know you talked to one of the directors of the league, Mike Evoy, who I've had a prior relationship. And I know you interviewed Coach Mack as well. So I covered his dad's games. I've covered his games. It's kind of cool to see your guest in the last few weeks come full circle for me as well, and people with I've worked with.
Yeah. And folks, it is not by design. I have not had all of the individuals on, including Jeremy, that you just heard him listing off. That's just the way that things have shaken out. Jeremy, one of the past roles that I mentioned in the intro that you had was with the United Shore Professional Baseball League, and you have a story about them mixing faith and sports?
Yeah, so they would, just like a lot of minor league baseball teams, they would have a, specific nights each, not each day, but a lot, whether it's a giveaway, a bobblehead or some sort of wonky kind of type of promotion. And one of their promotions each year that I was there was Catholic Night, presented by Alliance Catholic Credit Union, which is a credit union here locally. I've had a chance to work with them as well on various other projects. They do a good job around the community, just kind of spreading the faith and spreading their brand as well. But yeah, so that was kind of neat to integrate that into broadcast, and I got a chance to interview some people from the credit union and other people around the Catholic community here in Detroit. As you reached out to me, I fleshed out a list, and I'm like, how does my work life kind of tie into my faith life? And some of these things you don't really realize, right? Like, oh, I've been to a Catholic institution all my life. I'm still working at several Catholic institutions. Oh, they had this faith night. Oh, I had this, thing where we had mass at the ballpark. So it is, when you step back and kind of view it at this angle, it is pretty neat to see how many things have tied together without, maybe necessarily, knowing that they would work out that way.
I'm curious, other than what you mentioned about the credit union, what did they do that made it Catholic Night? Was there a mass on the field? Was there a priest that spoke afterwards, or something that took place down in the field post game? What consisted of Catholic Night other than the sponsor?
They had a priest, I believe, each time say a prayer, and then they would have a representative, I believe, from the Archdiocese of Detroit who threw out a first pitch. So that was kind of cool. And I think there was a couple other aspects to it that aren't coming to the top of my mind right now. But yeah, they had definitely a decent amount of representatives, some different faith organizations at the ballpark, having like signage and little booths.
Nice.
That's something they did quite a bit with some of their, activation type of things. So.
Nice. If the audience was listening closely, you are actually doing several jobs at once present day. How do you manage to get to Mass every weekend, especially given that most, if not all, of the teams that you broadcast games for are likely playing games on the weekend?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was recently, and you say multiple jobs, it's about 10 tax forms at the end of the year, maybe more this year, but it's quite a bit juggling everything and figuring things out. But I was recently traveling with the Michigan Panthers and the USFL, the newish football league that came back from the 80s.
Yeah.
I was doing their stats here on WJR, one of the bigger stations in the area, for their talent. But anyway, I looked up online, the Mass, and I was in Canton, Ohio, where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is. And I was staying downtown, and it was a Sunday, and it was a later, I think it was a 5 or 6 o'clock start. So I had time to do so in the morning and just kind of trounce around downtown. And this particular church said they had a Mass at, I think, 11 a.m. So I walked about a half hour to it, and the doors were closed and there was no Mass.
Oh no.
So then I had to, pull up Uber and, look for another one and kind of, go to an area I wasn't really familiar with, but I feel like that's kind of what I do a lot. Try, hope that I'm staying in a fairly populous area, which for the most part is the case when I'm traveling with teams. I do a lot of travel in the Big Ten here lately as well. So we're staying in cities that usually have walkable churches. So that's nice. And, going to some of the bigger cities and seeing the cathedrals. And, my wife always likes to stop in that when we're traveling for, just our with our family and self as well. So it's pretty neat to travel around and, see the different churches and how they do different things with music or whatever it might be, decoration. It keeps it fresh, I think, in a certain way in that. And here, even here at home, especially when I was working, I didn't work a full baseball season this year in terms of the pro side, but, we'd often have to hop around to quite a few masses around here because it'd be varying when I was gone and when I'm here, and to try to go as a family can be tough at times, but we try to do as much as possible. Otherwise I also find my way and wherever I am, find one, but that can be a challenge sometimes, but we always try to make it a priority here on Sunday.
And bravo, Jeremy. I know you're not doing it for the pat on the back, but audience, I hope you heard the great example that Jeremy set and the great witness that he gave. He walked 30 minutes. Okay, that alone, he walked 30 minutes to go to church. He's out of town, and as you heard Chris Ice say, last week on episode 232, a lot of people just don't even make the effort, period, because they chalk it up to, oh, I'm out of town on business. No, I didn't go to church. So he walked 30 minutes. The church is closed. Most people at that point would get very upset. I just wasted all this time, right? And they would go back to their hotel. So instead, he finds an Uber and goes to a different church. And that's kind of that, how far will we go for the Lord? How far will we go for our faith? Will you stop and say, well, I made the effort and God saw me trying, but the church was closed? Or will you say, I'm going to pursue him the way he pursues me, just like that 1 out of 100? And so hats off to Jeremy for the great example that you just heard. Jeremy, share with the audience about a shrine that you visited in northern Michigan and the significance of that trip.
Yeah, so it's called Cross in the Woods. It's actually pretty neat. I camped quite a bit when I was younger. I would say 12 and under. I was going every summer, maybe a couple times a summer, to different places. But northern Michigan, if you're not familiar, is very nice. It has a lot of not only touristy type of small towns, but a lot of cool nature, touristy type of things you can visit as well that are pretty easy to get to. But on our way, my wife and I, on our way up to our what would be engagement, I don't know, she says she knew it was going to happen then. I don't know if she did or not, but we took a little trip to northern Michigan and we stopped at Cross in the Woods, which I believe is in Gaylord, up there just below the Mackinac Bridge, which connects the upper and lower peninsula here in Michigan. But they have a presence of Saint Kateri Tikawitha in what is the, you know, the big cross in the woods. And she was kind of known for placing small crosses around. So it's just a very neat area. It's in the middle of nowhere pretty much. But it's kind of cool to drive in and they have a church and then you kind of walk through the woods and then there's a very, very large cross. And they have other statues of certain saints around and bricks laid of people that have kind of dedicated their loved ones to it as well. But it's just a place we like to visit. And if you're ever in Michigan traveling north, I know it's not a common place if you're just kind of stopping in to go to in terms of being in that area. But it's a very cool spot to check out.
Very nice. Very nice. And because you've started to mention her a time or two, let's close by having you share how the two of you met, first and foremost, but your time in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that you and your wife have made.
Yeah, so we the new age way of online is how we met, but it's becoming a lot more common as we talk to people who are getting married. I feel like almost 50% of the people I come across say, oh, yeah, we met online, or they met somebody online at least. So it was actually Catholic Match, which, I had previously tried some other online dating sites, didn't really work out, and this one worked. So, and it just took a few messages here and there. We actually met fairly quickly, so I think that was the best. And it was quick. I mean, we met in 2019, kind of in the late winter months, and ended up getting married in May 2020. And now we have two kids that have, we've been blessed with, as our family grows. So my daughter Kateri, is named after Saint Kateri. And not only did we, have that experience at Cross in the Woods and saw her statue and kind of, get familiar with that situation, but the day that we got engaged, there was a Saint Kateri church in Brimley, Michigan, which is the campground we were staying at. And we attended there before. It unfortunately burned down right now. They're trying to rebuild it. So hopefully that happens within the next couple of years. It's been a few years since it's been up. But that combined with, those two things, we decided to name her Kateri. A lot of people think it's unique. It's like, oh, you get the question a lot, like, where did that come from kind of thing. So it's kind of cool to share that story as well.
Yeah.
And then my son, Raymond Ignatius, and Ignatius is the nod to, my Jesuit schooling, was born in December 26th, actually, the day after Christmas. So that's going to be a heavy present time, huh? But those 2 days. He came here December of 22, so just before the new year. So it's been fun being a dad. It's also been fun getting the chance to be a godfather to three other of my individuals on my wife's side.
Wow.
That are her sister's kids. So that's been fun to kind of ride with them on their faith journey. And, I just recently was named another godfather to my nephew Oscar, and he got baptized the same day as my son. So that was also pretty
Wow.
neat. And My son's godfather is his father, so we kind of did a little exchange, and it was like, oh, you know, where do we stand now? How does this work? You know, I almost missed Oscar's baptism because I was walking to the right. So that's been fun, and you know, my wife has a large family with, I believe, what are we up to, 13 nieces and nephews just on her side alone. So family parties are a riot for sure.
Yeah, so it makes up for you being an only child because you're getting your fill just from her side.
Yes.
But audience, did you catch it? Jeremy said he got married in May of 2020. So I got to ask, that was during the pandemic. How'd you pull that off?
Oh my goodness. That was, you know, a wedding is always stressful in terms of how much you need to do for it. But there was a lot of planning and replanning, and we were, you know, we had on the books about a 200 plus person reception. That was canceled altogether and moved to 3 months later. And it was still, you know, had to be half. But the wedding itself was fairly normal. I mean, everybody was spaced out in mass, but it's a very large church, about 1500 people. So you couldn't even tell. I mean, it looked like there was 20 people in there, but we still were able to get, I think, more people in the actual ceremony than most at that point, just because of the spacing and what it allowed for. And then to make up for the lost reception, we went to the parking lot, had our first dance, shared a cake as well with everyone. And we were supposed to have a live band at our reception, which we ended up doing 3 months later. But my sister-in-law also sang our first dance. So that was kind of special in itself as well.
Out in the parking lot.
Yep. Good pictures to go with it.
Well, everyone always has fond memories of their wedding day, and one might argue your memories are perhaps even a little more special because of the circumstances, and praise God, the way that y'all were able to persevere and overcome the hand that you were dealt and still be joined in the sacrament of holy matrimony. So God bless you both and your children as well, and thank you, Jeremy, so much. It's been great having you on Catholic Sports Radio. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely, anytime.
And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.